concerning the work done at the parsonage, being done at the parsonage, I somehow can't resist telling you a little story of a pastor who went to the local pet store and he ordered 2,000 ants, 50 mice, 20 spiders. And the clerk said to him, "Well, you know, this is an unusual order. It'll take me some time to fill it. But I want to know why you want this stuff." He said, "Well, you know, I'm being transferred to a new church. And the council at my church tells me I should leave the parsonage exactly the way I found it." Now, please, before you go to Facebook and put this stuff, friends, I've been into the parsonage. None of these things are there. But yet, there's some work to be done, right? So please help our trustees as best you can. Please come back with me to our text for today from 1 Peter chapter 2. And given the constraints of time, we could just look at verse 9 and 10 of the text. But as God will, we'll come back to this some other time. This chapter, I mean. So I'll focus verse 9 and 10 in particular. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." The dominant culture tries to make us all the same. Individuality seems to count for little today. We are like a one-size-fits-all people. Consequently, you hear people say from time to time, "It does not matter what you believe. We all pray to the same God." And religiously, if you were to say to a person, "Jesus is my Savior, I'm forgiven of my sins. He walks with me and he talks with me. When I die, I'll go to heaven." If you say that to some people, you would lose some friends. Why? No one should be so confident and so assured about their relationship with God. That's how many people think. St. Peter, writing to believers scattered in the Roman world, these in a region we would say comparable to modern-day Turkey, living there among a community of people hostile to them because of their faith, he says to them, "You are very special." He reminds them, as Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus, they are different. You are chosen. You are called. You are commissioned. It was Alexis de Tocqueville, many of you have heard quotations from him before, who observed that America is exceptional. That is, America is qualitatively different from all the other countries of the world, he said. But today, many debate that. Many question American exceptionalism. I trust we do not question our exceptionalism as the people of Christ. We are different from the norm. And St. Peter lays it out here for us in the text. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So briefly today, we want to talk about chosen. To say, first of all, we are chosen. Verse 9 of the text. We are chosen. You are these things. Now, many people today are really confused as to who they are. But Peter is saying, this is who you are. Special to God. Don't be confused. Get beyond the identity crisis. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. There's an old story reported a conversation between a psychiatrist and a man who was unhappy about being discharged from his care after many years of analysis. The psychiatrist said to the man, "You're cured." "Some cure," the man snorted. "When I first came in here, I was Napoleon Bonaparte. Now I am nobody." Confused about who we are. So it is Erik Erikson who spoke of identity crisis in people, especially adolescent. And he talks about it as the failure to achieve ego identity. So rather than having identity cohesion, many adolescents, he say, are stuck in a role confusion stage. It's not only true of adolescents, it's true of many of us. The day church members tell the truth, you would hear something like this. "I am baptized." "I'm confirmed." "I attend church." "I participate." "I give." "But I cannot say Jesus is my Savior." I can say he is our Savior, but I cannot say he is my Savior. "I am Christian, but not a Christian." Confusion. Peter is saying, "No, not with you. You are chosen." So you're here today. Why are you here? Now please come back. I'm not trying to chase you away. This is a Methodist church. Why are you in a Methodist church? Carl Hurley, a professional humorist from Kentucky, does a little story of an elderly deacon at a Baptist church who wore the same suit to church every Sunday, year after year, until it was threadbare, almost unwearable. So people of means in the church decided to take up a collection to buy this man a new suit. The deacon took the money quite humbly and quietly. And being from a small town, people in the church soon learned that he had gone to one of the best men's stores in the town, and he purchased a fine suit and new shoes and a tie and a shirt. So the Baptists the next Sunday were waiting for their senior deacon to come to church. They wanted to see him stepping in those new shoes, you know, and that new suit. But a man did not appear in church that Sunday. And they begin to wonder, did we offend our senior deacon? So one of them decided to visit him and ask if everything was all right. So they asked him about the suit and things like that. And he said, "Yes, I did buy a suit." He admitted it looked good on him. In fact, he confessed that, "Look, on Sunday morning when I put on the suit," he said, "I saw myself in the mirror. In that new suit, that fashionable suit, that good-looking suit, I look so good, I decided to go to the Episcopal Church." Who are we? The Methodist Church. But who are we? Say we're believers. Peter is reminding them about who they are and whose they are. So look at verse 9 of the text with me. We give it to you conveniently on the green sheet. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people." That's who we are as Christians. All who put saving trust in Jesus Christ become God's children. Remember John 1:12, "As many as receive him, to them he gives authority to become the children of God." Does that make us better? What do you think? I'll say it makes us blessed. Amen? Does it mean we have more of God? What do you think? I think it means God has more of us. Does it mean God loves us more? What do you think? I think we love God more. You are chosen. And so in the Old Testament, we see this idea where the Lord said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The people whom he has chosen for his own. Psalm 33:12. And in the act of praise, you read from Psalm 100, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. And in John 15:19, what Jesus would say, a powerful text. You did not choose me, I chose you. I chose you. Who are we? You are chosen. And so, sisters and brothers, I want to tell you today, if you have put your faith in this one called the Son of God, today you are chosen. Now, anybody here confused as to what that word chosen may mean? If you have any doubts, just think of people in the produce section at Myers or Walmart or wherever people buy that stuff, right? Don't you see what the idea is like there? They pick up, let us say, the cantaloupe or something, and there is the look test, and there is what? The smell test and the squeeze test, and if it passes the test, you put it in the cart, chosen. God has hand-picked us. Hand-picked you. You are his in his cart. You're special. So you're not a loser. Amen. You're not depressed. Are you with me? You're a child of God. You're not some person just trying to make it here in life. You're a child of the King. You're chosen, special to God. A lamb of his own flock, a sheep of his own fold, a sinner of his own redeeming. You're chosen. But secondly, Peter said, not only are you chosen, he said, you are called. All right? You are called. Once, verse 9, you're God's own people. He has chosen you in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you. End of verse 9. Out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called out of one condition, darkness, into his light. Not just into light, but into his light. Not just into his light, into his marvelous light. And it goes on to say, this darkness that's in the world, this moral and spiritual darkness, is not of the believer. We are called out of it into something better. You are special to God, called and chosen. Do you want to see somebody who is really special to God? Do you? Do you? Anybody here want to see somebody who is really special to God? You can raise a hand. If you want to see somebody who is truly special to God, look in the mirror. Amen? Let's look in the mirror. You don't have to come here and see me now. You know what I mean? That may help. I don't know. Any mirror, check what the bathroom say. They're pretty nice. Have you ever checked the bathroom? Pretty nice. We are called. We are chosen. So there's a new predicate placed on our lives when we accept Christ. A new dignity is placed on us. We are not ordinary folk anymore. God's special children. And so you may ask yourself, well, how do I keep up this thing? How do I remain special to God? He tells us very plainly in verse 1, rid yourselves, therefore, of all malice and all guile, insincerity, envy, and slander. That's how you keep in the light of God. Verse 11, look at another imperative. What does he say? Abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Verse 12, how do we keep in the light? Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, etc. Who are we? We are chosen. We are called. We are special. Most of us know about St. Augustine. But before Augustine was St. Augustine, he lived a very reckless and righteous life. Once he came to Christ, his life was so radically transformed. He came out of the darkness into the light. So there's a story of Augustine. One day after his conversion, he was walking down the street. And he happened to glimpse somebody, and that person saw him, with whom he had done many sinful things. And as Augustine saw the person, Augustine hasted his steps to get away. But a person shouted, Augustine, Augustine, it is I, it is I. Augustine ran some more. The man kept up, Augustine, Augustine, remember, it is I, it is I. And Augustine looked back and he said, but it isn't I, it isn't I, it isn't I. In Christ we are different, out of the darkness, into the light. We are called. We are chosen. And finally, called, chosen, now we are commissioned. For this is not a call to status, it's a call to service. So the end of verse 9 tells us what? He has called you in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are called for a purpose to proclaim this good news. A world sitting in darkness needs the light of God. Please tell me, who is the light of the world? Jesus said, you are the light of the world. A world wallowing in moral decay needs the salt that preserves it. Who is the salt of the earth? Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. The good news needs to reach all people. Who are his witnesses? Jesus said, you are my witnesses. The world needs to know the Christ of God. Chosen and called, commissioned, to do what? Verse 9 tells us. To proclaim the mighty acts of him who called us. People want to know who Jesus is. They're earnestly seeking something that is not produced by the failing, bankrupt systems of the world. People are looking for a peace and a happiness and a fulfillment inside that Washington cannot put its ruinous hands upon. They are seeking truth for their minds and life for their spirits and rest for their souls. The Christ who suffered, bled, and died has chosen us and called us and commissioned us to bear this good news to the world. So this is our mission. For this is who we are. So you may ask, well, how do we do it? Well, by being here supporting this, that's what we are doing. By supporting the other ministries of the church, we are proclaiming his name. By teaching Sunday school, working with the kids, the nurseries, all the other ways we reach out as a church. We are proclaiming his good news. But you could do it more directly. A friend may come to you this week and share his problems or her problems, their fears, anxieties. And you may say to that person, you know, I used to have those fears and anxieties and stresses in my life. But since I committed my life to Jesus Christ, I trust him. Amen. He supports me. He can help you too. That's how we share the good news. There's a little story of a man who was blind, and God blessed him. He found a doctor who was able to cure his blindness. And every evening that man went through the 4 o'clock train from carriage to carriage, saying loud enough for all to hear, if any of your friends are blind, let them know about Dr. Carl's. I was blind and he restored my sight. If any of your friends are blind, let them know about Dr. Carl. I was blind and he restored my sight. We are called to declare the wonderful things of this God who has called us out of darkness into light. So it is common for many church people to sit back and think, well, we are just a little church. We are just struggling and striving to survive, trying to pay our bills. There ain't much to us. We are just here, you know. Friends, it is time for us to put a silver bullet in the heart of that attitude. The God who rules the heavens and the earth has chosen us. I mean us here. We as a community of faith. He has chosen us. He has called us. He has commissioned us. We are here. So let me tell you my attitude. And I hope it's yours too. Where I'm concerned, no matter how big a church may be, how large a church may be, no church has more of God than we have right here. Amen? Now, can't you say a better amen than that? That's a home run. You should not walk out of here and hear a more inspiring message preached from any pulpit. God is here. Amen? Amen. If you are looking for the Savior, you'll find him here. You don't have to go to another church. If you're lost, you can be found here. We are not just some little church trying to make it. We are chosen. Amen? We are called. We are God's people. There is no more of God anywhere else than right here. Can't be. Impossible. Why? God is here. Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. That's special. And that's the attitude we walk in to this place with every Sunday. Every time we come to a meeting, every time we serve, we are the people of God, chosen, called, commissioned. Well, somebody may say, well, preacher, that is a little too exclusive for me. It doesn't bring us together. Have you ever read the Gospels? What did Jesus say? I come to send fire on the earth to put the father against the son, the mother against the daughter. I mean, since when the gospel is this thing to bring us all together? No, it makes people hate us. But aside from that, all I'm doing, friends, is preaching the Bible, you see? And what does it say? You're chosen. You're exceptional. You're special to God. So who are you? Why are you here? You're chosen, you're called, you're commissioned. All through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let us affirm it. Let us act on it. Let us rejoice in it. Amen. Amen. Open our eyes.